Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1804, the topic is Q&A, and the title is Preventing Muscle Loss Through Aging. So one of my former clients, she works with a nutrition coaching company that also has supplements. And she reached out recently, asked my opinion on some supplements that their company is selling. And one of them is an essential amino acids supplement that they're selling with the promotion focused on fighting muscle loss through aging, like muscle loss related to getting older. Now, amino acids are they're dubbed the building blocks of protein. They're basically the molecules that make up protein. And you need 20 of them for your body to function properly. 11 of them our body like makes on its own. And then there's 9 that you need to have come from your diet. And they're referred to as essential amino acids, meaning it's essential that you get them from your diet. So when they say essential amino acids, it just means the amino acids, the building blocks of protein that have to come from your food because your body can't make it on its own. Now, amino acids, they build muscles. They're involved in a lot of reactions in the body. They transport nutrients. They're involved with like fighting illnesses like your immune system. So when we're deficient in those, it would cause a lot of issues. It would cause decreased immunity since it's involved in your immune system. Digestive problems, there can be emotional issues. You can have trouble regulating mental and like emotional health. There can be like fertility issues. It causes like low mental alertness. It can actually mess with how the brain functions. And there's a lot of other problems. Now, it's important though to know that in like the first world, the countries that are most likely listening to this podcast, you have electricity, you have readily available food. It's incredibly rare. To have a protein deficiency. It's actually really hard to find exact numbers, but through the articles and stuff that I was reading to try to find an exact number, I couldn't find any. But everybody, all the articles kept referring to as a few percentages of the population. So that's going to be like under 5%. And most cases in which people have a protein deficiency is actually going to be more so related to a body dysfunction or a body disorder related to protein absorption. So it's not even something that's coming from lack of food as much as it's just something in their body that doesn't function properly. Now, again, that's in kind of first world. Is it's very, very, very unlikely to have a protein deficiency due to nutrition. Now, when people have disordered eating, like anorexia, bulimia, I work with clients with that, clinical and kind of self-diagnosed. And then when people get into pretty extreme diets, the amino acid intake, like protein intake, can become an issue. If they super restrict that, they can almost create a protein deficiency. And that is something then that we would say, okay, it's an abnormal situation. This person has a very disordered way of eating. The protein deficiency might be more of a concern. So insufficient protein intake is very rare, but in groups of people who do extreme dieting, it could be more prevalent. It's not very common. It really isn't. And it's correctable by just ensuring the person is eating enough protein. So if you are eating a normal, healthy amount of protein, you really don't need to worry about supplementing with things such as essential amino acids. Now, what is a proper amount of protein? In general, you're looking at 0.6 grams per pound of body weight, or 0.25 grams per kilogram. So if somebody weighs, now this is also like lean mass. If somebody weighs 200 pounds, but they're 50 pounds overweight, they don't need 0.6 grams times 200 pounds. It would actually be kind of like their lean mass. And you can kind of think of yourself as, okay, how much would I weigh if I didn't necessarily have, you know, six-pack abs, but I would feel comfortable enough to be in a two-piece bikini on the beach or comfortable enough to take my shirt off at the beach. What would that body weight be? And that's usually a pretty healthy body weight in regards to, like, being lean but not you know, super shredded. But that's kind of the idea of when we say ideal body weight or lean body weight, that would be kind of what we're referring to, is when you would be lean enough to feel confident to let people see yourself, if that makes sense. So if you're consuming 0.6 grams per pound or around 0.25 grams per kilogram, it's likely that you're covering your base needs of protein. Now, more will definitely help, especially if you have any degree of activity strain in your day. So if you do anything other than just sit at a computer all day, maybe you go for walks, maybe you exercise, maybe you lift weights, more protein will definitely help. So when we consider amino acid impact on muscle loss due to aging, it's actually more accurate to view it as just general protein intake. That's actually a better way of viewing it. The reason why is because we think of amino acid like intake, people are going to think they need a supplement. When you just say protein intake, they're like, oh, I just need to eat more protein, which is true. That's actually the better way to view it, is you just need to eat more protein. You don't necessarily need some kind of special supplement. Now, can essential amino acid supplements help boost protein intake? Absolutely. Sure. But another way of viewing that might be a better way, is if you're going to supplement your protein intake with supplements, would an essential amino acid supplement be the best choice? And in general, in most cases, I would say no. A protein powder, whether that's derived from eggs and milk, whether it's rice protein, whether it's vegan or an animal product. But basically, a protein powder is going to provide a greater amount of protein. So that would typically be the better choice. And then when you're looking at what protein powders to get, you want to compare pricing. The cheapest isn't always the best. It's usually not filtered out very well and it can cause upset stomach. But also the most expensive isn't always the best. So you want to kind of look through. Whey protein isolate is a really good product to buy because it's usually pretty filtered and it's not going to cause too many digestive issues. But you can also get casein protein, which is a slow digesting protein that's better for like meal replacements. But you want to look more so into protein powders than essential amino acid supplements, just because the protein powder is going to give you more bulk of protein, which if you're looking to supplement your protein intake via a supplement, you're going to want something that provides you 25 grams of protein, which is on average most protein powders are going to give you somewhere between 20 and 25. And you want to look at kind of like whey and casein proteins, not collagen protein. Collagen protein is going to be more so related to connective tissue health. If you want to look at muscle loss, you want to be focusing on whey and casein protein. So when we look at the concept of muscle loss through aging, the two biggest reasons why people lose muscle through aging is reduced muscle use demand and reduced protein intake. They just stop lifting heavy things or moving heavy things. You know, one day they used to be able to pick up, a 30-pound basket of laundry. They used to pick up a 50-pound bag of mulch. There was just a certain amount of weight that we would be used to moving around. And then we got tired one day. We didn't eat enough one day. We didn't sleep enough one day. All of a sudden, that heavy thing kind of feels a little too heavy, and we decide to kind of push it around with our feet or have someone else pick it up for us. And then we just stayed that way. We never picked it back up again. And then all of a sudden our muscle mass starts to reduce because we don't have any demand to maintain it. And then the next thing becomes heavy and we stop doing that. And then the next thing becomes heavy and we stop doing that. You get to that age where you don't want to pick a dinner plate up over your head because you say it feels like straining on your shoulders. And it's just a slow decay of not using muscles along the way. And that's actually typically related to poor sleep and poor nutrition. You just don't feel like doing it one day, and then you just never do it again. That's just kind of the way it happens. But that is going to be the biggest reason why people lose muscle mass through aging, is it has nothing to do really with aging as much as they just stopped using their muscles at one day, doing a certain level of physical fitness, And then they stopped the next level down, the next level down, the next level down. Now all of a sudden, doing a regular daily activity, like getting yourself, your own body up out of a chair, feels very straining. And then combined with that is reduced protein intake. So if we lift weights and we eat enough protein, those two components will cover pretty much everything we need to prevent muscle loss as we age. Now, we could definitely add some other components to that, like a multivitamin, multi-mineral type supplement to make sure that we have the elements needed to continue protein synthesis and continue to making ourselves feel good, that we can move around and do things. You also want to look at total caloric intake. It's rare that somebody would be eating adequate protein but not have enough calories, just because protein is so challenging to get in. But that is something to consider. And then hydration. So if we add all of that to the list, that's what we look at when we say, okay, what's going to have the biggest impact on muscle loss through aging? And then what can we look at to prevent muscle loss through aging? Now, I've trained hundreds and hundreds of people over 60 years old, including my mother. My mom is crazy strong. She has two elite totals in two different weight classes, and we did powerlifting. We didn't get into powerlifting until she was in her late 50s, and she freaking kick ass at it. So all like her and the other clients I've trained over 60 years old, in every single case, we've been able to add muscle mass and strength, even though they were over 60 years old. What we focused on wasn't amazing. I wish it was, because that would make me sound better. But it's not amazing. What we focused on was weight training at least twice a week, and we centered it around daily movement patterns. Picking things up, putting things up over your head. Those are basically the two patterns that if you cover most of those, most variations of picking things up and most variations of putting things over your head, you're going to cover pretty much everything you need to do all day. Now, there's definitely some more nuances to it, but that's the general focus is, am I working on the muscle tissue and the mechanics, the proper positioning of picking up something heavy? Can I do it with a narrow stance? Can I do it with a wide stance? Can I do it with like an offset stance? So we even pick up things in weird positions. And now we do it very controlled, but that helps keep those muscles active in all the core stability and hip stability muscles. And then we focus on overhead movements. We even do chest presses and rows and kind of horizontal patterns. But we also do a lot of like pull downs, pull ups, push ups, you know, a lot of movement patterns. But the two main things you would look at is, am I picking up something off the ground? Am I pushing something up over my head? If you're doing those two things, you're covering pretty much what you need to in weight training. The second element is caloric intake minimums. I just make sure they're eating at least a certain amount of calories on a daily basis. Make sure they don't have two high days and one really low day because they just, quote unquote, weren't hungry. We want to make sure there's a caloric intake minimum. Then the third thing would be a protein intake minimum that kind of pairs with that. So those kind of go hand in hand. Then we have a basic multivitamin, multi-mineral type supplement, and then hydration awareness. I just ask them, hey, you know, can you make sure in the first, you know, couple hours of the day you drink X amount of water, the next couple hours you drink X amount of water, the final couple hours drink X amount of water. Just make sure they're getting hydrated throughout the day. So those five things cover pretty much all your needs. Weight training, caloric intake minimum, protein intake minimum, multivitamin, mineral supplement, and then hydration awareness. They'll cover pretty much everything you need. If you attend to those elements, you'll be able to not only slow muscle loss, but depending on your previous activity level, you can actually build muscle tissue and you can actually increase bone density. I had a client of mine who had scans done on her hip bones, and we were actually able to thicken the bones of her hips due to leg presses and deadlifts. And that's clinically proven University of North Carolina in Raleigh, North Carolina. She actually had the scans done at the beginning of weight training, 6 months into weight training, and 12 months into weight training, and we showed bone density increase, and she was in her mid-60s. So you can increase muscle mass, but also bone density by just simply paying attention to weight training twice a week, caloric minimums, protein minimums, multivitamin, mineral supplement, and then hydration awareness. Okay, so that's what we look at. When we look at preventing muscle loss through aging, just make sure you continue to lift heavy things safely, and then make sure you keep up with your caloric and protein intake, take a multivitamin supplement, and then make sure you drink some fluid throughout the day. That's it. So it's relatively simple in concept. Now, it's a little bit challenging to kind of make sure you do those things, but now that we know what to do, that's what we can focus on. Awesome. Well, if you have any questions, if you need anything, shoot me an email. My email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. And if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.